Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel readings read a few moments ago. Please join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Even one death is too many. You've heard that phrase before, probably from the lips of a politician. It's a good soundbite in our soundbite world. Truth is, though, not all deaths are equal. There are some that get more press than others, like as a politician or someone else famous dies. The newspapers and internet are filled with stories about their deaths. But when someone who is sick, a family member or friend, someone in a nursing home, a woman down your street, or a homeless person dies, there's not so much that's talked about. But hey, even one death is too many, right? But those aren't usually part of the consideration. And consider this also. If evolution is true, then this saying is not. One death is really no big deal at all. Just one more in a long chain of deaths. Survival of the fittest, nature doing its job, weeding out the old and the weak, while the young and the strong thrive. It's just the way things are, right? Isn't it? So the truth is, we're confused, aren't we, about death? Is it good or is it bad? Good in one time, in one place, and bad in another place? Is it useful or useless? Is death a friend or an ally or an enemy or both? Like an animal, sometimes, I suppose, tame and domesticated, and sometimes wild and out of control. But death is here in our world. And it doesn't care who you are, what race you are, how old you are, your status in life, or your education level. People die and will continue to die. It is a constant picture of our own mortality. Sometimes it hits us very close, as I know some of you are dealing with it freshly this morning. Every Ash Wednesday, we are reminded of the fact that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. It is sin that has brought death into the world, and that will bring your death and my death. And there is no medicine, there is no science, there are no man-made solutions that will stop it. There's only one who can. The one who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's what today and this week is all about. The Father offering up his son to be offered up for your death, to battle death, all death. Because for him, for Jesus, for God, it really is true. Even one death is too many. No one was meant to die. It is not God's will. But we thought, and sinfully often think, that it is his will, and that we can do life better than God. But all we need and all we die is in the end. We all face death. And for God, it's not just physical death. It's all I've been talking about so far. But for God, it's even worse. He sees what we do not see, those who are dying spiritually and eternally, which is far worse. And one of these is too many for him. For the God who created all life wants all life to live with him for all eternity. So the God who created all life rides into Jerusalem to do battle with death. He enters this week as a mighty warrior, hailed with palm branches and shouts of victory. And he ends this week dead, looking quite vanquished, wrapped in a shroud and laid in a bowered tomb to quiet sobs of grief. But his is the death that we exactly needed. For the death that he dies was yours and mine. As a sinless and perfect, he shouldn't die. But in Jesus, God is made man. And as the Lamb of God, he dies with your sins as your substitute. When faced with death in the Garden of Gethsemane, he agonized. But even more than that, he didn't want to die. He didn't want you to die. So he would die for you, for me, for the world. Die your death. To break the grip of death on you, and this was the only way to do it, that just as we impose death upon the life he created, he would impose his life on the death that we created. And with his resurrection, he does so. He is victorious. So maybe we're a Sunday too early with our palm branches. We should really wave them next week, don't you think? When the tomb is empty and the victory has been accomplished for us, when our shouts of Hosanna have been fulfilled, well, don't worry, you'll get the chance. Not because we're going to give out palm branches next Sunday. No, even better. You'll do it for real in heaven. For as John told us in his revelation, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb." So we wave our palm branches. Not in imitation of those in Jerusalem that day, but in anticipation of Jesus our King, who will come again for us when we will wave them on that day for all eternity. On that day there will be no more death, only life, eternal life. And I suppose that's why the early Christians always placed a palm branch in the hands of their loved ones who had died. And so we sing Hosanna today, and not just today, but every Sunday, as our King comes to us, not humbly on a donkey, but humbly in water, in words, and bread and wine, coming to Hosanna us, save us from our sins with his forgiveness. What he accomplished for us that week so long ago is given and bestowed upon us here each week. Here you are given the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, as we again anticipate his coming and the feast of heaven, which will have no end. For God, even one death is too many. And so Jesus doesn't die just for some or for most, but he dies for all, that all may have life in him. So let me suggest another way of thinking that is quite opposite of this world, for I'm sure you've heard this saying too. You only get one life to live, so live it to the full. Take advantage of every opportunity. Don't let anyone hold you back. The problem with that is that people then forget about death, which comes at any time, and often quite suddenly and unexpected. and so they're not ready. So instead, how about this? Instead of you only get one life to live, you only get one death to die. And here's why I think it's better. Because no one pays so much attention to the living as the one who is dying. They are the ones who make every moment count. Those who are dying are the ones who take advantage of every opportunity. They are the ones who pay attention to what really matters. They say what really matters. They do what really matters and is important. They want to use the time they have left wisely, so they'll be ready when Jesus comes. So this week, we do that. We look at death so that we may live. We learn how to die in faith, to live in faith, faith that sets us free from the fear of death. For though we will die, we will live. And the one who died and yet lives for us, to him, even one death really is too many. But for us, his death was exactly what we needed. So let us hear now that story again. Today and all of Holy Week, the story of his death, the story of his life for all eternity. Let us pray. My Savior, be thou near me when death is at my door. Then let thy presence cheer me, forsake me evermore. When soul and body languish, O, leave me not alone, but take away mine anguish by virtue of thine own. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee, who dieth thus dies well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith to Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.